And in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There is no rejoicing, there is no joy, if we do not know the Lord God as our Saviour. We rejoice in salvation. In a sense, though life is good, there's nothing much to rejoice about in pains and agonies and wars and strifes, the things of this world. But in salvation, in eternal life, there is everything to rejoice in. And whether we be those who are not committed to the Saviour, be unbelievers as of now, there is every reason to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is every reason to hang on to the faith despite appearances or feelings or the way of the world. Now, Habakkuk lived in a hairy time. The Chaldeans were always attacking the nation. It was always likely that they should be invaded. And he was a faithful prophet who loved God. And he couldn't make head nor tail sense or anything about what was going on. So he says, well now, I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Probably this is picture language. But every vineyard, or where the figs were kept, or even the cornfields, had their tower, so that the owner could employ people, or could go himself and just watch that there were no enemies or no enemy animals coming to destroy the crops. So Habakkuk, thinking of the people of the Lord, thinking of God's Old Testament people, the people of his day, says, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see, strange expression, to see what he will say. Revelation says, I turn to see the voice. Well, you don't really see the voice, do you? You don't quite mean it like that. And you get this expression too, I will watch to see what he will say unto me. And if he speaks to me, what I shall answer. So here is the prophet of the Lord's people. And he wants to be sure that he understands. So he determines, on behalf of the people, he's on a watch, that he will meet his God, wait for him, pray unto him, not make a move without him, certainly not preach things that are not true. And the Lord very, very kindly did speak to him. And the Lord said, now, I want you to write down the things you see now and the things you hear. Not only do I want you to write it down, I want you to make it plain. I want you to explain it. I want you to write it on tablets that can be passed around and that people may understand, that he may run that readeth it. When you bring this message from God and cause it to be written down, the people will take courage. The people will go about their life with a spring. They won't get this fatal idea that the world, the Chaldeans, are going to destroy them and that there's no future for them. They'll go about their business with pleasure and with joy and look forward to the victory that the Lord will give them. They'll run. They won't give up. They won't give up their faith either, because they will see the vision. the vision, we're not told, but it's clear from what he said about it that it must have been of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come 100 or 2 or 3 or 4 years later. But he says now, that vision is yet for an appointed time. The time when the Saviour will come. The time when he will announce eternal life. The time when he will preach forgiveness of sins. The time when he will die on Calvary. It's not yet ready when he will come. It's not quite the time. But this is the thing that you cling on to. And do you remember that when the child Jesus was brought into the temple, there were those who were clinging on to the faith that God would send his Messiah. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Now, we as believers also might say to ourselves, the world in which we live is very difficult. The world in which we live is, for the most part, anti-God. Powers and authorities are abroad that would bring deprivation and degradation to the nations. But the Lord Jesus will come again. The vision isn't yet completed. He's died on Calvary. He humbled himself. But now he will come as conqueror. Now he will come as victor. In the end, it shall speak. So there is no reason to get discouraged. There is no reason to give up. There is no reason to give up our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to bring victory. Or as the prophet says, I will rest in the day of trouble because I know the victory belongs to those who trust, like I do, in Christ. I can rest in the midst of trouble. I can rest in the day of trouble because I have faith in the Lord Jesus. The older I get, and I'm very old, the more I consider how terrible it is to grow old without a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To have the prospect of disintegration of the body and the eternal condemnation, damnation of the soul. Terrible and frightening. Human beings weren't made to do that. They were made to be saved. They were made to be delivered by Christ and enter into eternal life. So, the vision is for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So, a person committing their life to Christ may have to wait 20, 30, 40, 50 years before they're taken to be with the Lord. But the Lord is real. And they must wait. Very difficult to wait, isn't it? Very difficult to hang on in. It will surely come. The Lord Jesus will surely come to the world. Well, we live after these days. He will surely come again. Now, this is the vision he saw and he wrote about. But it's the prayer at the end that I wanted you to consider. Verse 17 of chapter 3. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There is a psalm that I think we quote rather glibly. Though the earth be removed and be cast into the sea, yet will I trust him. Would we? This is a last case scenario. It's famine and it's conquest. The fig tree is not blossoming. The fruit is not in the vines. There's no grapes. The olives aren't producing. The fields are not producing any corn. There's no flock either of sheep or of goats or of cattle. What could be worse? It's a last case scenario. And thinking about what the Lord had said to him, that the Saviour will come in an appointed time, that the Saviour will save his people and will give them eternal life and will return again and take them to glory. It will not fail. It is to be waited for. So he says, all right, I will wait. Even if it gets unbearable to live on earth. He doesn't mention martyrdom. But even if the worst comes to the worst, even if there's no food, even if the enemy comes, even if I feel so ill, whatever be the drawback, I will rejoice in the Lord. Now you remember the Bible says, rejoice without ceasing. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus teaches us to rejoice that our names are written in heaven, which, take it back a stage, means we don't have to earn his love because we have it. And the good works that we do to please the one who has loved us. We do not know in this country what will happen in the world. All we know is that when the Lord comes again, it will be consumed by fire. You see the two, we're told in the scriptures, God is love and God is a consuming fire. And at that time, Christ will come in love for his people to take those who are alive on earth to be with him, and then before that to raise up the dead in Christ who died previously. He'll come in love before he consumes the world and all left upon it in fire. These are end things, and we don't know how soon it will happen. We know the world will deteriorate, and we can see the deterioration and the disintegration happening before our lives. So what we need more than anything else is the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need to hold us steady through all these things, even when we want to give up, we're to wait that the salvation which is in the Lord Jesus Christ might become real to us and that we might enter upon that eternal life. Even though this world fails us, and this world's friends fail us, if it is a last case scenario, I will rejoice, he says, in the Lord. It isn't easy when things are going on round about you not to be distracted. Doesn't matter whether you're driving a car. It doesn't matter whether you're in the kitchen and there are two young children running about. It is very easy to be distracted from what you are doing. And here the prophet says, doesn't matter about what's going on in the whole wide world. Doesn't matter what's going about around in my workplace or in our society or in my home. I will rejoice in the Lord. That will cut through absolutely everything. It's the only thing I would put my trust in. the only thing that secures my soul for the whole of eternity. I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, some people are temperamentally more inclined to look on the bright side of things. I don't know what it's like here with people. You might look round at each other and say, so-and-so and so-and-so would say the bottle was half empty. The other half would say the bottle is half full. It depends whether you're pessimistic or optimistic by nature. But we're not talking about by nature. In spirit, we are to rejoice. And those who are pessimistic by nature, in the spirit, their joy will outstrip those whose joy is just a natural joy. And the rejoicing is in God. God the Father, God the Saviour, and God the Holy Spirit. And the principal thing, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, it is very difficult when you're in pain. It is very difficult when you're perplexed and overwhelmed by a multitude of thoughts. It's difficult sometimes to hold on. And amidst all these things, it is the Saviour we are to rejoice that God is our Saviour, that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us, that he's brought us to hear and believe the gospel and drawn us to himself. Whosoever cometh unto me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. So no matter how bad life becomes, how bad the things of this world becomes, it is the God who saves us, who is the principal object of our worship, who is our principal delight, and who brings us to our senses. I wonder if any of us here will live to be 100. I'm in my 80s, but I'm not going to make it, I don't think. Maybe some of you will. What's 100 years compared with eternity? You know Newton's hymn, when we've been there 1,000 years, and some editors have changed it to, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. Forever and ever, says the Lord's Prayer, the power and the glory forever and ever. Isn't it wonderful? Very difficult for us who are decaying to think of something that will not decay, ever. That God and those in him will not decay, whatever, will not lose the power that he gives them. And so it makes sense, whoever we are, and whatever stage of a life's journey, to place our trust in the Lord who gives eternal life, the God of our salvation. This is the issue that trumps everything else. You could think to yourself, nothing is worse than this which I'm going through, but I'm sure that in heaven you'll wonder what all the trouble was about. I'm sure you've even been through things in this life that deeply upset you as a child or whatever. And then later on in life you wonder why these things so upset you. And in eternity, maybe we'll wonder why these things so upset us. But if they were to upset us to prevent us from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, or if they were to prevent a believer, as he found them so upsetting, to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a poor exchange that will be. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Why throw up the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The argument I actually use with people when the situation arises, they will say, well, oh, so-and-so goes to church, professes to believe. And I don't think he's a believer. I can't stand him, really. My argument is, well, in that case, why throw overboard your possibility of eternal life for someone you don't like? Why do it? If their profession is not perfect, why throw overboard your profession? The thing is just silly. And so the prophet Habakkuk, having heard from the Lord that the vision of Jesus Christ is forever and ever, but the Saviour was not quite ready to be revealed for a few more hundred years. And he says, doesn't matter how bad things get, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Well, something follows from that. That must be verse 19, but never mind about that. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Unless it's cloudy when you get there, you go to the top of a mountain and look around 360 degrees, and you get a wonderful panoramic view. And people just seem like little dots way, way, way down below. And in a way, it gets things in perspective. You see it differently. And after we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, or after we've been delivered from certain doubts as believers, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. I'll go about life with a totally different attitude. I'll skip about. Actually, hinds don't so much skip as move with great speed. But I won't be dull, and I won't be boring, and I won't be bored, and I won't go about everything saying, oh, must I? I will go eagerly about my life. I will go with great pleasure about the things that are to be done. I will encourage others. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, because I'm joying in the God of my salvation. I'm rejoicing in the Lord, though the scenario is bleak. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. I'll get everything in perspective. Even when I'm in the middle of something, we say we can't see the wood for the trees. But we will have everything in perspective, giving everything their right value, their right position in life, as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and keep faith with him. There is a chorus about, although the fig tree shall not blossom, and it's quite a good way of remembering it. But what we actually need to remember is the God of our salvation is to be utterly trusted and to wait, and at the end it will all be perfectly true. Amen.
Amen.